Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions. I am Yudalee Wickham-Ashby, and today my special guest is Mr. Leroy Smith, the Calypso Competition Coordinator for the National United Society of the Blind. Welcome to the program, Leroy.
Thank you so kindly, Yudalee, and good morning to all.
Now, Leroy, let's start by talking a little bit about you, who you really are, and how you became involved with the National United Society of the Blind.
In a nutshell, I've been battling glaucoma for a good number of years, but in 2011, I was declared clinically and legally blind. And on inquiring of my doctor where I should proceed to get some assistance, he advised me to go and join the folks at the workshop in Becklesroy, St. Michael. That was the start of my association with the National United Society of the Blind and all the wonderful folks that I've been able to come into contact with over the many years, over all the programs, training, seminars, educational opportunities, everything that have transpired since then.
Now, Leroy, for many individuals who either suddenly or gradually lose their eyesight, it presents many emotional challenges. How was it for you?
Let me go back. I was diagnosed in 1995. So that's if you take the time span basically from 1995 to 2011, it was a long time. I tried many of the known remedies that would be associated with dealing with glaucoma, you know, and having all kinds of medication, operations on my eyes, all those things. But I guess because that was a very long time, almost 16 years, I gradually accepted over time that at some point in time I was losing my eyesight, and I figured out that at some time it would reach a stage where I would lose all of it. So when the doctor told me, like I said, in 2011 of my state, I had already steeled myself to a position that, yes, this day would come. So although, you know, you can say you accept these things with equanimity and everything like that, it is not easy. Having to deal with the day-to-day challenges, you know, the growth and all that kind of stuff. It's not an easy journey, mm-hmm. But it's manageable.
Okay. And were you working at the time, back in 1995?
Of course I was working. I worked up to 2007 when we had the World Cup here. When we had the World Cup finals here in Barbados, I was the volunteers coordinator of the local organizing committee for World Cup 2007.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of the major challenges that you might have encountered, you know, with the gradual deterioration of your vision and then having to adjust to the physical environment that you had to work with?
Let me tell you, moving around, to me, I would say the number one thing is dealing with roads, potholes, awful gradients, poles in the middle of sidewalks. There's so many things that I could just itemize here that are day-to-day challenges for blind persons when it comes to getting around in Barbados. There are some helpful people, of course, you know, chief among them, I find that public sector drivers, persons who drive, especially the transport board. And one of the things I want to say here in Barbados is that it has been my observation and the observation of other persons, the more familiar people are with persons who have disabilities, i.e. the persons who drive on the city circle route, they know practically all of the persons who work at the workshop. And so you find that you have a much greater level of cooperation and assistance from those drivers as opposed to the drivers who are not familiar with persons who have challenges. So I believe that in the rollout of a national program, one of the critical elements would be getting persons to, through the mediums of radio, television, newspapers, whatever we have, whatever forms of communication we utilize, getting them to be more aware. A much greater effort needs to be put into the awareness so that people then, those who are not directly affected, because obviously persons who are there, who have family and whatever, friends who suffer from disabilities, they have a direct connection with them. but the wider society in general, which you would have people out there who don't have this awareness. So we can use all the opportunities and technology and everything we have to bring a greater understanding to these people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that you've gotten involved with the National United Society of the Blind, tell us what that experience has been like thus far. You know, what have you been able to input into the organization, and what are some of the outputs that you would have been able to notice and contribute to?
Okay, I would have brought, coming into NUSB, I would have brought background management, operations management, that kind of thing, into the organization. And you readily recognize that in such an organization, because of limited opportunities and capacity, because of the lack of facilities and whatever for Barbadians, I was mature and fully working and everything before my ailment came upon me. So that background of being in a business environment, managing people, managing resources, managing technologies, all those things, those are things that I was then able to parlay into making a contribution to the National United Society of the Blind. You know, I went in and I was elected to sit on the executive of the organization, and along with all the other members, because I can tell you there are some very talented and hardworking persons within the ambit of NUSB who make significant contributions. I would like to say, you know, it's difficult to single out people, but one person without a doubt that I would want to single out, as to me I call a shining star, is a gentleman by the name of Mr. Evelston Maloney. He is a phenomenal person as far as his talent, his skills, his knowledge, everything. I am bowled over when I sit down sometimes and think of all the fantastic attributes that he brings to helping the challenges of the blind and disabled community.
Okay. And now let's get to the heart of the matter, the Calypso competition. This would have started how long ago?
Well, this year is our ninth.
Mm-hmm.
This is the ninth edition of the NUSB Calypso competition. It started out, I think the story is well told, it started out just as a little challenge at a monthly meeting to bring some diversity to what was happening. And somebody mentioned the idea of, why don't we start some singing, and it then morphed out into what is now today a fairly respectable and popular Calypso competition.
So Leroy, how satisfied or excited are you about the competition? Because I know that in the last, 5 years, Mr. DJ has captured the crown, but prior to that, we would have had some other winners.
Same Elvis did. I'm certain, I remember for certain in the early days, Mr. Maloney used to be a force to be reckoned with.
Right, until, size 2.
Yeah, until Mr. DJ basically has come and claimed it as his own. Well, this year, it looks very promising this year in that we have some new entrants.
Mm-hmm.
The competition this year, there are eight persons, 7 persons challenging Mr. DJ, including 4 ladies. The ladies are really stepping up to the plate. So, like, we have Lady Emerald, Lady D, Songbird, and Sugar Cakes.
Sugar Cakes.
Yeah.
So there,
Baby Cakes. Sorry, let me get that damn right. Baby Cakes, not Sugar Cakes.
Okay, so there I say, like, Calypsonian TC, woman is boss.
Well, we'll see at the tape.
Okay.
And in terms of the men, well, of course, there's the, like I say, the perennial Mr. DJ. Then there's Biggie Bear, who's usually a big crowd favorite year after year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Chicory, who's a new entrant. And Kolash, who mm-hmm. I think you would know very, very, very well.
Yeah, awesome. I know Kolash. Well, I must say that we've been joined by Andre Innes, better known as Dre, from the House of Soca Calypso Tent Fame. And he's also one of the supporting writers for the competition. He's been writing for a few of our Calypsonians. And I must add that even though you may not have heard me prior, but for the first 2 Calypso competitions that the National United Society of the Blind held, I was one of the entrants, better known as Hair Platt. And I was a crowd favorite too. They laughed at me. Welcome to the program, Dre.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Barnes. Good morning, Bob Ennis.
Right, so yeah. Dre, tell us about your writing skills and how easy have you found it to write for our Calypsonians?
Well, your Calypsonians are really no different to Calypsonians otherwise, you know. We have issues that they have issues, the same issues as the other Calypsonians, and they want to vent them in the form of Calypso. Mm-hmm. So writing a social commentary is just like writing a normal social commentary to me. I love working with the Calypso competition, the blind Calypso competition. I actually have written for the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. I also manage the backstage runnings, getting them on stage, getting them off stage, getting the props in place.
Oh, so you're a stagehand?
Definitely.
Okay,
definitely.
Great.
I really appreciate it.
Right, and we appreciate having you and some of the others. Leroy, who are some of the other writers that have assisted the other Calypsonians?
Over time, you have like persons like Kid Sight, Gabby works with the champion, you know, what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of the local Calypsonians who, of course, one of the things is because the staging of our competition sort of coincides with when a lot of the leading Calypsonians are out of the country.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes that does present a challenge. But mm-hmm. nevertheless, we try to work around those issues and things. But some of the very, very, very leading Calypsonians, people like Pompey and some of the older generation of Calypsonians, they also assist over the years.
And I think this is fantastic because then it really demonstrates that at the end of the day, it's all one Barbados, all one people, you know?
Correct.
Dre, how easy do you find it to write in terms of, I know some people say, man, as Leroy was kind of suggesting, some people start writing a song and then, no, I don't like this, and they ball up the paper and throw it away, or, you know, might tweak it a lot before you get the end product. Is it that easy or that difficult?
Some songs you will find that you will write, and once you have a concept and you start, everything comes one time. But then there are others now that you really have to do some research. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to researching what you're writing about, and that takes a little time. Sometimes, depending on the song itself, you know, sometimes it'd be really difficult sometimes to finish a song. I got songs there put down, there's about 2 years now that I can't get finished. But what I usually do sometimes is other concepts come up, other ideas come up, you know, and I refer back to some of those songs now and fuse them into the ones that I already start.
Okay. Know, so. All right. Yeah, so, Leroy, tell us now about the actual staging. Where will the Calypso show be? What date? What time?
Exactly. Well, this year our competition is going to be held at the Barbados Workers Union headquarters, Solidarity House in Hines Bay Road. This is the third year that the Barbados Workers Union have graciously allowed us to use their auditorium. Like so many of the other persons associated with the competition, some of the things we will get totally free, others will just have to, some people will give us other benefits. Simply by covering their costs for the persons who work for them, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
This year's competition, like I said, is the 9th edition, and it's on the 28th of September. We normally hold our competition in October, but this year, because the Royal Barbados Police Band is celebrating some 130 years of their existence, October is going to be a very, very busy month for them. So we cooperated and we moved forward the competition by 1 month.
Okay, great.
So 7 p.m. on that day, September, Saturday, September the 28th, at mm-hmm. Solidarity House.
I know that when I think of these types of events, it calls for quite a lot of coordination and organization. And I would want to acknowledge that many times it also provides an opportunity for persons with disabilities to also develop skills in learning various techniques, how to plan, how to execute, how to make direct contact with other individuals. And even as Dre spoke about working backstage and having to guide persons onto the stage and make sure that they're standing in the right spot and markers are placed that they can move around freely on stage without injuring themselves or causing people to panic, as has happened to me, where I kind of went right at the edge of the stage and people thought I might have slipped off, you know. So speak to us about that, and how do you think it is benefiting the individuals?
Well, let me say, we do anything. We have a whole lot of meetings, really, to discuss all matters pertinent to the staging of the competition. Like, for example, last week we began voice training. You have people that obviously they can sing, and some can sing really well, but voice training adds to their capacity. So we have Mr. Matthew Morris. He's a well-known person in the music arena. He's organist at a local church. He teaches piano. He teaches people singing, all this stuff. So we brought him in. He's kindly consented to come and help us out. So we have an ongoing program. We run for 4 weeks every Saturday morning. And the Calistones are very enthusiastic. Last Saturday was a whole lot of fun. It was the first day. It was a whole lot of fun. And so they recognize from the onset of the program the limitations that they had and how the training could benefit them significantly. So like that's one aspect of it. Every year, because of, you know, the blindness, we have to go up to Solidarity House and get people very familiar with the entire surroundings, the stage, you know, the length and width and everything of that, backstage, how they're going to move around and everything, and all the various locations. So that is also an element that we incorporate every year that we do the program. Some persons know, as you can very well attest, you, Bling, you know, some of us who can move around very, very easily, we go to locations after two or three times, we got it covered.
Correct. Yes. So, Dre, as we talk about this component of the preparations for the competition, how do you work with those individuals you've written songs for? Do you work one-on-one with them, help them to feel comfortable with the song, maybe reword parts of the song or anything like that?
Definitely. As I do with everyone I write for, I just now write a song and give persons, you know, I like to work along with them. Personally, first, before I write for them, I ask if they have any ideas of any concepts that they want themselves, so they can actually have an input into the song and get a feel of the song for themselves, as opposed to me writing a song and just giving them and they're doing me. You know, so I write and I send a recording, and the recording is just for them to get familiar with the lyrics and the melody. Then we work together on the phrasing and delivery and everything. So I just work alongside them to the end.
Okay, nice. To the end. Yes, nice. And Leroy, how satisfied are you with the support and cooperation you receive from other personnel working with the competition?
We are so happy with all the support we get. There are so many agencies that a significant part of what we're able to accomplish is thanks to, in no small part, to members of the Royal Barbados Police Band. We have an ensemble, and this is, I think, 5 or so years now, that every year they are the backing band. We get the songs from the writers, etc., and they score them and they script them and all that stuff. And Constable Sobers, he does a lot of the work, you know, tidying up the songs. We have a number of rehearsals, probably about 3 to 4 rehearsals with them. And then we're ready to go. Night before the finals, we have the final rehearsal, big grand rehearsal. We go through everything that basically, like any other tent, will do. We'll go through all the songs and everything. And we do the same. And that is in no small measure to he and his all the other policemen. And, of course, it's led capably and ably led by Inspector Whitehall, also of the police band.
Now, for you, Dre, as a person now coming into the disability movement, so to speak, what are your thoughts about the competition? Where do you see it expanding?
For the past 3 years I was working with them, they expanded dramatically, especially where the audience is concerned. So I think by next year, you're going to look for a different venue, you know. And what I think it's something that a lot of, I would like to see it, not only the blind, but other people with disabilities, you know, to come and voice their opinions to on stage. And, mm-hmm. you know, not just the blind only, you know, other people that
right,
sit in your wheelchairs yeah. and, you know, come and hold the stage and bellow a note too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I would see it growing from there, you know, opening range to a lot of other disabilities, not just the blind.
Well, maybe for the 10th anniversary, well, Leroy.
It's interesting that Dre would raise that point, because 2 years ago we took the decision at the executive level to make that same very change, to expand the competition from the blind only to the disabled competitors. Mm-hmm. And for our preparation this year, for next year, our 10th anniversary, we want to have a big gala event. And what we want to do, this is very early stages of it, but we've made the initial contacts and everything. We want to have, in addition to an USB's own competition, a Caribbean Calypso competition for the blind. So we've explored, you usually have persons coming up from Trinidad. We're looking at St. Lucia, Guyana, Antigua, St. Vincent. That would be quite a feat in terms of having those two competitions run the same night. So initially we want to restrict it to maybe about 5 persons, but hopefully it can grow to the stage there and we can have a local competition and also a Caribbean competition. Mm-hmm. And let me take this opportunity now also, I remember, to thank places like, for instance, our box offices, who have been with us a couple of years, CS Pharmacy, Lower Broad Street, Standard Pharmacy in Tweedside, and this year coming in for the first time with 4 Plate Deli at the Sheraton Food Court with Philip Forrester. Mm-hmm. So we will express our thanks. And the other agencies like A&B Sound, these IGM Lighting, who, you know, Jerry would tell, these are critical partners in the presentation of an event such as this. Mm-hmm. And these be very, very, very kind to us in terms of cost. Basically, they waive their fees, and it's just that we pay to those persons who will work on the night and that kind of thing. And there's a lot of support we get from corporate Barbados, from companies who will donate drinks and food items and all these kind of things to us.
Wonderful.
And one of the critical things I would like to mention also, like, we got support staff and van drivers who, as you know this very, very, very well from Barbados, when you have an event, you have to go all over Barbados to the people's doors to bring them in. And then when it finishes, then you have to take them back home. And we have drivers like Roger and those guys who do that for us faithfully every year.
Yeah. Yes, we really have to salute the transport drivers because, as Leroy is saying, you know, even though Barbados is a very small island, mm-hmm. Driving home 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, taking people down to St. Lucie, St. Philip, St. Joseph, St. Andrew, all over the island, it really is essential that we do it because we still want to guarantee the safety of our persons getting home, you know? Certainly. So it's really crucial. So I like the idea of the competition being open to other people with disabilities, and I like the idea of a Caribbean Calypso competition as well. I know that many years ago we had a Mighty Pele out of St. Lucia, who was really a first-class Calypsonian, and he was a wheelchair user. You know, so we have quite a few Calypsonians around the Caribbean with disabilities who have been on the big stage, as you would say, in the national competitions. You know. So I think that there is a future ahead, and I really would want to see it grow. Dre and Leroy, it really has been a pleasure having both of you in with us. And as the saying goes, time flies when you're having fun with these type of conversations. So definitely. Any closing comments from you, Andre Innes, better known as Dre?
I advise Barbados to come out to this competition. This is a phenomenal competition to see people with disabilities that cannot do the things that we can do shine on stage, you know. And I would just like the people to come out to Barbados Workers Union headquarters, 20th September, Saturday night, 7 o'clock, be there.
Thanks, Dre.
No problem at all.
Yes. What I would like to say, you know, there are a lot of persons, especially behind the scenes, who we don't get the opportunity to see. But I would want to thank especially the four coordinators of this program, as they are basically there's Mr. Peter Brito, who handles things like protocol and VIP and dealing with the band and that kind of thing. Then we have in the office Roseanne Foster-Vaughn, who does all of our correspondence, of our liaison work with all of the persons who help us and make contributions to us. And Mr. Rudyard Welch, as everybody knows, who works tirelessly on the day, all the food and drinks and everything that you'll find available, he coordinates all of that. We have a crew, unbelievably, of 50 people for the staging of that show on the night. And we have to make sure that they're well taken care of and everything. So what I want to say to folks, as you've been doing in the previous years, go on out to our box offices, get your tickets, which are $25, and come and let's have some fun again. Remember, Barbados Workers Union Solidarity House, National United Society of the Blind, Calypso Competition.
And is there a number that they can reach you?
Yes, there are two numbers, actually. My number is there. It's 421-9081. Or on my cell, 820-9036. Or Mr. Sim Welch, Mr. Rudyard Welch, he can be contacted at 234-3331.
Great. Well, today I've been talking with Leroy Smith, the Calypso Competition Coordinator for the National United Society of the Blind, and Mr. Andre Innes, better known in the Calypso arena as Dre, one of the songwriters and the stagehand working with the same Calypso Competition. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I also want to say thank you to my technical operator today, David Daddy Biggs Howell. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudley Wickham Ashby. Remember, you can reach me on 1-246-430-7300 here at Starcom, or on 1-246-269-9660. That's the mobile. And you can also email me, visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is visionsbarbados@gmail.com. So until next week, do have a terrific time ahead and bring more of your family and friends to listen to this radio program. Bye.